Lord, save me.
I remember the day.
The song I sing, what a loving God is He.
Out of His great love, He picked me up, set my feet on a sturdy rock. Out of His great love, I've learned the meaning of salvation. Out of His great love.
Now I shout His praise through all my days for His endless mercy and grace. There's no other one who has there's greater love. With joy I will ever say,
out of His great love He picked me up, set my feet on a sturdy rock. Out of His great love I've learned the meaning of salvation. Out of His great love, out of His great love He picked me up, set my feet on a sturdy rock.
Testament, 2 Kings chapter number 2, and I didn't have to wrestle much with what the Lord wanted tonight. The Lord sort of put this on her heart, and it may be sort of a morgue sport, different things. I don't know exactly which direction we'll go, but there's a couple of thoughts that I really want to share with you that I hope will encourage you and will help you along the way. And by way, basically, of introduction, I brought a few things so you can visualize. Some of you ought to, everybody ought to appreciate this, especially some of you fellas. There's a couple things that I could say you never leave home without. And one of them is that right there? Anybody know what that is? Son, that's duct tape. That'll fix anything. We got duct tape. We got super glue. And WD-40, praise the Lord. Ain't that something? That's what every man needs. Hey, some women need that as well. Duct tape, glue, and WD-40. You say, what's that got to do with anything? Well, I got a point with that. That's behind it, and I hope you'll never look at a can of WD-40 maybe the same again, or a piece of duct tape or super glue. There's a lot of things that can be done with those entities, and tonight it may seem a little bit strange as I begin to read this, but this is where the Lord sort of centered our heart. If you found your place, if you could stand with us in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God, 2 Kings chapter number 2, As you begin reading this, a chapter is closing and another chapter begins. The ministry and the life of Elijah is getting ready to be passed on to Elisha. And we see the transferring going on here in 2 Kings chapter number 2. But the chapter's closing on the life of Elijah, and a new chapter begins for Elisha. Now notice what the Bible said in 2 Kings chapter number 2 and verse 1. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over what? When they had went over the Jordan River, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Now let's pray. Father, as we bow God in your presence, Lord, again tonight, saying thank you for this good day, God, you give to us. Thank you, Lord, for you passing by our way, the day of salvation. But Lord, I know you can pass by our way again tonight. Sure do need that touch. Sure do need that help. Help this feeble preacher, Lord, now to decrease, that Jesus may be increased and lifted up. Save that sinner that's nearest hell. Help the saints of God tonight. Do what's needed and necessary in this hour. Speak to every heart. We'll thank you and we'll praise you for all you do. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. We've read here a fairly lengthy passage here out of chapter number 2 of 2 Kings. And of course, again, we know that the chapter of Elijah's life has come to a close. And this new chapter that begins the ministry of Elisha begins to take hold here in the Word of God. And I got to thinking about this, and I'm going somewhere with this thought in just a moment. When we think about, there's some things that WD-40 can do, man. I'm telling you, it can do a lot of things. From keeping ice building up on your windshield to fixing all kinds of leaks, and or not leaks, but something that squeaks or something that's stuck. Man, you can use WD-40 in so many ways. Then you got glue, man. How many times has super glue, where you say, man, I just wish I had some super glue. I couldn't tell you the times I've glued my shoe soles back together. And on the top. And a Christian, oh, are you telling your secrets? But I'm just saying it happens. You can use super glue for a lot of different things. And then we got duct tape. Man, I couldn't tell you the times duct tape has helped us. There's one time, I guess it was Memorial Day weekend. I guess it was on that Monday. Me and Garrett went up to the New River fishing. Probably last time we went up there. And we just had got in the water with a boat and realized there's a hole in the boat. Well, I didn't have anything but duct tape with me. Of course, all the stores were closed. It'd be Memorial Day, the parts stores and everything else. And there's nothing up in Sparta, really. Walmart, there's not a Walmart up there. And so anyhow, I used that duct tape. I duct taped, got the boat back out of the water, duct tape on the one side and duct taped it on the other. And son, that held up all the way down that float that we had, Brother Johns, fishing on that Memorial Day for smallmouth. But there's a lot of things that WD-40 will do, and that super glue will do, and duct tape will do. But there's a lot of things it can't do. A lot of things it can't do. Did you know there's some things that do not need repairing? You can't improve them. Well, name one, preacher. Well, think about the sun that comes up in the morning. You can't improve on that. You can't change that. Think about the moon. Think about the environment. Some of these wackos think they can change, so you can't change things. Amen. Some things never need repairing, and you cannot improve on them. Some things cannot be repaired or undone. What is that? Well, we can't go back to this morning and roll the clock hands back. You can't do it. Can't be. You can't change it. You spill water on the ground, you can't unspill it, Brother Dobie. That's something that when it takes place, it cannot be repaired and it cannot be undone. Some things can repair themselves. I know Sister Karen Billings, she's got a fracture in her knee, and they say, hey, time is what it's going to take for that thing to heal, but you got to stay off of it. And sometimes you can break an arm if it's not a compound fracture or broken tooth. Sometimes if you'll rest that thing and keep it in place, it will heal on its own if it's just left alone. But there are some things that we can repair. You can use WD-40. You can use duct tape. You can use glue sometimes to repair things. And even in the spiritual sense, there are some times when relationships may be hindered or may be severed. Guess what? We can fix that. We can fix that. The problem is, it's not that it can't be fixed. It's the willing vessel not wanting to get it fixed. Does that make sense? Again, if there's a fault or something, the Bible lets you know you're to go to that individual and get that stuff took care of. But there's some things that only God can fix. It takes the autumn. We talked about this morning, Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8. And this is where the thought came from for tonight's message. About midway through the service this morning when I was preaching, I can't explain that to you. But in Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8, it said, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and unto the uttermost, and in all Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. But he said, I will give you power. That's the dynamite power, the dunamis in the Greek, the dynamite power of God that God will give to you and I. And that's what I desperately need. That's what you desperately need to be effective in ministry. On the way back up just tonight, I stopped at the gas station, had to get some fuel there at Pofftown, and boom, there was a homeless man sitting there on the rail right there. And of course, he approached me and said, could he have some money? And I said, I'm not going to give you any money. I said, but I'll get you something to eat. So I went into the store and I got him a cheeseburger, come back out with a drink. And man, I shot him with a double barrel gospel gun. I tried to share the gospel. And again, he said, man, can I have some money? And that's the one thing. Again, this is your business, but don't ever give those folks money. You ought not ever do that. All you're doing is adding to a habit. You can go by and you can buy them something to eat. Man, I don't want to see anybody hungry. I'll give anybody that I can something to eat and something to drink. But understand this, there was an opportunity to minister to somebody's heart. And sure, he may have a physical need, but guess what? Brother Matt, that same need will be there tomorrow. He'll be hungry again tomorrow. But I'm glad if you ever taste of the Lord and see that he is good, man. He's the one that will last throughout all eternity. But we need the power of God on our lives. I look out over this auditorium. As I looked out this morning, I look on the front row. I think about Hoyt. I think about Jeremy. I think about Malachi. Look all the way over here to Nick, to Cam, to Tristan, to all the kids through here, McKenzie, and different ones that are in this building, and those that I've seen grow up. You know why I desperately need the power of God on my life, Brother Harold? You know why you need the power of God on your life, and Brother Wayne, and Brother Brandon, and Brother Evan, and every one of us, all of our deacons, all of our Sunday school teachers, all of our Wednesday night workers, our nursery. You know why we need the power of God? Because we got a generation coming up that needs the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's some things WD-40 can't fix. Hey, some things duct tape can't fix, or super glue, but I'm glad the Lord can fix those things that need to be fixed in our lives. Now, preacher, what's that got to do with 2 Kings chapter number 2? Well, I want you to notice in the Bible here, there's several things about Elisha. And I'll hit this. I've preached through this before, and I'm not going to give out a great big lengthy message on this, but I got a couple thoughts that I really want to share with you. We think about Elisha. He has heard that Elijah is going to be taken up. And he's with him. He is his companion. Here this chapter's closing on Elijah's life. And this new chapter's opening up for Elisha. And he wanted to be there when his mentor is taken up. And we see, I believe, that he was adamant to press on. He was adamant to press on. And four times in this chapter right here in the verses we've read, he had an opportunity to stop and to stay and Elijah go on, but he wouldn't do that. Why? He was adamant to press on. We understand in verse number 1, he could have stopped at Gilgal. Now, time's not going to give me, I'm not going to preach all that. But Gilgal was the place of new beginnings. If you'll remember when Joshua came in Joshua chapter number 4, that's where they set up those stones after they crossed the Jordan River. It was a picture of a new beginning. That's a great type and a picture of the child of God when you get saved. How do you start the Christian life, man? There's only one way you can start the Christian life, by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But there comes a time when you got to move on from your Gilgals. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18 said, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God wants us to be saved. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's desire for you to be saved. If you're not saved, that's your greatest need. But once you get saved, that's a new beginning, man. The Bible still said, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 70, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And there's nothing better than getting saved, but there comes a time in the maturation process as we mature and we grow and we develop, we got to move on from our Gilgals. Sort of like the babies as they grow up. And I know Stephanie and Tyler are going to have that little one tomorrow, Lord willing, and it won't be long, man. It'll start crying. It'll have to have some milk. But you let that little old baby grow up, it won't be long, Sister Janet. And then they're going to have to want something. They're going to need something more than milk. As they begin to grow and they begin to develop, they begin to have a different hunger. And once you get saved, man, you got to move on beyond that Gilgal. But Elisha could have stayed in Gilgal, but he said, no, I'm not staying here. I'm going on. Then notice the other place there in verse number 2, we find the place of Bethel. Now you can go to Genesis 28, and of course, we understand Bethel was a place of dreams. That's where Jacob wrestled with God, and that's where his old leg got out of joint. I don't have time to get into all that, but that Bethel is a picture of a place of dreams. How many of God's people have got saved and they moved beyond their Gilgal where they got in to Bethel, where that picture of a dream? You get a vision, you get a glimpse. I'm not talking about some wild vision, man. I'm talking about you get a feeling that God wants to use you in some shape, form, or fashion and some capacity, but those dreams never become a reality because you never submit and fully commit your lives unto the Lord. And all it is just a bunch of dreams. I said this morning, I'll say again tonight, it's untelling what God could do with every one of us that are fully surrendered unto the Lord. Hey, man. And one of the brothers said years ago, if I had 12 men that hated nothing but sin and were determined to know nothing among men but Jesus Christ and Him crucified, he said, I'd set the world on fire. I believe it was John Wesley that said that. If I had 12 men that hated nothing but sin, and we're determined to know nothing among men but Jesus Christ and Him crucified, he said, I'd set the world on fire. And boy, that's true. I'm talking about a fully committed and a fully surrendered life. Well, preacher, why should I want that? Again, we got kids growing up all around us. We got co-workers that we go in contact with. We've got family that are on their way to a devil's hell, prepared for the devil and his angels. Again, Matthew 25, verse 41 lets us know that. That's why we need the power of God on our lives. And God wants to use me and God wants to use you. You say, well, preacher, I've got a lot of brokenness. Well, listen, God uses broken people. Preacher, I'm imperfect. Well, just join the crowd. Everybody else is too. There's a few that think that they're perfect, but they're not. Yeah, man. All God's got to work with is broken people and imperfect people. But you look at the Word of God, look at the people like Gideon and Rahab and David and the different ones that He used, Zacchaeus and Nicodemus in the Word of God. All of them had faults in Peter, yet God still used it. And if God could use him, God could use you and I. But understand, we see Elisha was adamant to press on. He wasn't going to stop at Gilgal, the new beginnings. He wasn't going to stop at Bethel. He said, I'm not staying here. I'm going on. The next place they journeyed to was a place called Jericho. You can find that in verse number 4. So they came to Jericho, and Elijah said, hey, why don't you just stay here? He said, I'm going on with you. Elisha said, I'm going with you. He was adamant to press on. He said, I'm not going to stay in Gilgal, that new beginning. I'm not going to stay in Bethel, that place of dreams. I'm not going to stay in Jericho. What was Jericho? That was a picture of past victories. And what a great victory that was in the book of Joshua, where it wasn't won by military might, it was won by the power of God. When you looked at that and you look at that text, the only way to explain that, when you look at it forward or backward, man, it was God that did that. God was the one that gave them that victory, the first victory they had when they went into the promised land. But Jericho is a picture of past victories. But understand, you and I, the church is not to be a museum. Yeah, man. It's not to be a museum of what used to be. God's arm hadn't been shortened that it cannot save. God can still do it again. The church is not to be a museum where you just think about, oh, God did this and passed victory. Listen, God can do it again today if God's people get the power of God on their lives. Listen, the church don't need to be a museum, and the church certainly don't need to be a mausoleum. What's mausoleum? That's where dead things are. Hey, man, I'm not part of a dead organization. I'm part of a living organism, the church of the living God, a group of called out believers that God has called us out of that old miry clay and set us our feet upon a rock and established our going according to Psalm 40. And listen, the church is not to be a museum. It's not to be a mausoleum. But here we see that Elisha could have stayed at Jericho, that place of past victories, but he wanted to move on. Then he gets to the Jordan. Notice what your Bible said there in verse number 6. And you can go back and you can look at this. The Bible said in verse 6, and Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. He said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. He could have stopped right there this side of the Jordan River, but he pressed on. What is that Jordan River a picture of? That's a picture of barriers. It was a barrier. They had to cross that river. But understand where Elisha got the double portion wasn't on this side of the river. It was on that side of the river. See what I'm saying? When I look at Elisha, he was adamant to press on. He could have stopped at Gilgal. He could have stopped at Bethel. He could have stopped at Jericho. Brother Dobie, he could have stopped at the Jordan and never went across it. And man, it had been a good experience. It would have been a good time. He had been with his mentor in Elijah. But on the other side where those barriers were, and I would say this, that's where we have that comfort zone. A lot of us, we might not say it, but let's be honest. If you ain't heard nothing else, you get this. Here's where we live. Preacher, I'll go this far, but man, right here, when I step over this line, that's over my comfort zone. That's why some people won't get saved. They've drew a line in the sand. Well, you know, I know I've heard about Jesus. I know that I need to be saved, but you know, I'm a little uncomfortable crossing that line. I tell you, it'd be the greatest day you ever had when you step over that line out of that comfort zone to get saved. And once you get saved, a lot of times we put up these barriers. God's got something better for us over here. But we won't cross over that barrier because it's out of our control. Yeah, man. That's what a picture of Jordan is, that Jordan River. But Elisha didn't ask for the double portion, and he didn't get the double portion on this side of the river. He had to get on the other side of the river. He was adamant to press on. Now, why was he adamant to press on? Because he aspired to have the power. Yeah. What power? The power that Elijah had. He asked for a double portion of Elijah's spirit to fall on him. So he aspired to have the power of God on his life. Now listen, I'm all for education. I'm all for academics. I think you ought to get the most that you possibly can. But has it ever occurred to you that the greatest thing that you and I can do is to do something for God? Amen. Amen. There's things that are beyond our control, beyond our power. And listen, it's beyond our intellect, Brother Harold. It's beyond our academic achievements. There are some things, if they're going to get done, they're going to have to get done with the power of God. There's no other explanation. How in the world did the walls fall in Jericho? It was the power of God. How in the world did they cross the Red Sea? And it was none other than the power of God. How was that widow's oil sustained? It was the power of God all the way through the Word of God. You can look back and say, yeah, God did that, and God did that, and God did that. And there was a human instrument in all those cases that God used. Stay with me. God used those instruments. Now, God was the one that sent the power, but there were people that God worked through The best way I can say that is to be the tool in the tool belt of God. That's what He wants me to be. That's what He wants you to be. And there's no excuse for any of us not to be a tool in the tool belt of God. God wants us to have power. God wants us to. Because listen, there's some things WD-40 can't fix, duct tape can't fix, we understand super glue can't fix. But boy, when you get the power of God on your life, some things can get done and some things can get accomplished. And here was a man that was adamant to press on because he aspired to have the power of God on his life. And he got it, by the way. But notice there's one other thing that he did in this text. Not only was he was adamant to press on, wasn't going to stay in Gilgal, the place that you've been. Listen, there's times you and I need to grow up. You know, I think about the Apostle Paul. He said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. There's a lot of God's people still got a lot of childish ways. Amen. All of us at some point or the other. It's time to grow up, to move beyond the Gilgal, to move beyond the place of dreams in Bethel, to move beyond the place of Jericho. Oh, God did this 20 years ago. Listen, God ain't changed. He can still do it again today. But move beyond that place of that self, that comfort zone, the Jordan River, that place of bears. Elisha said, man, I'm going all the way. And he did. He submitted. He committed his life unto the Lord. He was adamant to press on. He aspired to have power. But you know what he did? He asked for a double portion. He asked. Now listen, the Bible said this. In James chapter 4 and verse number 2, you have not because you ask not. We think about Matthew 7, verse number 7 and 8. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened unto him. Well, preacher, what's the big deal about getting a double portion or aspiring? He had an aspiration. He wanted the power of God, but he asked for this portion. Notice with me verse number 9. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And as you go through and you think about this, some of you might say, well, you know, Elisha, he was just superhuman. No, he wasn't. He made out of the same stuff I am. He made out of the same stuff you are. You say, well, you know, Elijah, you know, over there in 1 Kings chapter number 18, where he called down fire from heaven. Oh, man, I couldn't ever be like Elijah. Yeah, you could. Amen. Same power is available. You look in the book of James, he is made out of the same manner as we. I mean, he our likeness. He was made out of the same stuff, yet God used him. Why? He was surrendered. He was committed unto and submitted unto the Lord, and God used him. But I want you to think about this. He asked for the double portion. Well, how do you know that he got it? Well, think about this, and I'm not going to go through all these. I'm just going to hit them in passing. Think about the miracles of Elisha. Now, we look at this text in 2 Kings chapter number 2, we see him, he was adamant to press on because he aspired to have the power of God on his life. He asked for a double portion and he got it. He was able to go and to do things that without the power of God on his life, it would have been impossible. Because he had some situations, Brother Brandon, that WD-40 wouldn't fix. He had some situations that duct tape wouldn't fix. He had some situations where super glue wouldn't fix, but the power of God did fix them. We think about this, he parted the Jordan River, 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse number 14. He purified the water at Jericho in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 19 through 22. He cursed and judged the children at Bethel in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23 and 24. That's where they was talking about the preacher's bald head and those two she-bears came out of the woods and tore them to shreds. Amen. Be careful talking about the preacher's bald head. But we see that unfolding. We see he directed Israel to dig empty ditches that were filled. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 16 through 27. He created oil in empty vessels. 2 Kings 4, verse 1 through 7. He raised a boy from the dead at a place called Shunem in 2 Kings chapter 4. He purified a poisonous stew at Gilgal in 2 Kings chapter 4. We understand that he fed 100 men by increasing 20 loaves and a sack of corn in 2 Kings 4. He healed Naaman of leprosy in 2 2 Kings 5, he predicted judgment upon Gehazi. 2 Kings chapter 5, we also know he recovered a lost axe head in the Jordan. In 2 Kings chapter 6, he revealed the secret war plans of Syria to Israel. In 2 Kings chapter number 6 as well, he prayed that his servant's eyes would be open in a place called Dothan so he could see there was more with them than was against them. In 2 Kings 6, he blinded the army of Syria. In 2 Kings 6, we know that he promised deliverance to the starving in Samaria. In 2 Kings 6, he predicted the death of Ben-Hadad and the reign of Hazael. In 2 Kings chapter 8, he predicted 3 victories by Israel over Syria. In 2 Kings 13, he raised a dead man years after Elisha's death. You remember in the Valley of Dry Bones, and understand, they threw that carcass inside and they touched the bones of Elisha. We understand that man raised up 18 total miracles there that I just mentioned. Elijah had 9. He got a double portion. Now, what's that got to do with anything? When Naaman had his problem, duct tape wouldn't fix it. When they had the problem with Syria, WD-40 wouldn't fix it. When there was brokenheartedness, how do you fix this, Brother Brown? How do you fix brokenheartedness? Duct tape can't do it. How do you fix the sin issue? You can't. There's some things can't be fixed. You think about physically, there's some things, if it's going to get fixed, God's going to have to do it.
Amen.
Financially, sometimes if things going to get fixed, God's going to have to do it. I mean, we're in a culture, man, where people are just spending out of their minds, spending money they don't have.
That's right.
Amen. And they broke as a convict. Amen. It's crazy. Well, how in the world is it going to change? Am I going to have to get some common sense, man? When it comes to physical, there's some things only God can fix. Financially, some things only God can fix. When it comes to spiritually, there's some things only God can fix. We got to get honest with the Lord, but I'm saying this. God used Elisha as the tool to bring about the change in an individual's life. Don't tell me God can't use us, because he can. The problem's not on God's end. The problem's on our end. We get way too satisfied just staying around the Gilgals. We get way too satisfied staying around the Bethels and around the Jericho and loathing on past victories, man. Well, listen, thank God for the past victories, but God can do it again. And some folks stop at the Jordan and listen, he had never got that door, that double portion had he stayed on this side of the river. He had to step over that comfort zone to get to a place where God wanted to use him. I think about men in my own life that God used tremendously and mightily. They had the power of God on their life, and women as well had the power of God on their life that made an investment in me. I want to make an investment in these kids, and some of these kids that were here, man, they done grown up. Some of them done got married and getting married here real, real soon. They were real small when I first got here. Man, I want to continue to have the power of God on my life. Man, I'm a big old nothing, and there ain't nothing special about me. There ain't nothing exciting about me other than I'm saved by the grace of God. But what you and I need to have is a hunger and aspiration to have the power of God and to press on for the glory of God. And to ask for the double portion. Have you ever asked God, God, why don't you use, will you use me in a greater way than you are right now? See, some of you young men, some of you young women, some of you older folks, and that's why a lot of folks say, hey, you better reach them by 35 years old. You say, why you say 35? Man, this is not the case in every situation. Brother Jerry Perdue wasn't saved till he is 40 years old. But most time at 35 years old, most folks are going to be pretty much what they're going to be. The decisions have already been made up to that point. Now listen, if you're over 35, God, don't lose hope, man. God can still use you, but sometimes folks get set in their ways and they become really all that they're going to be for God at that particular time. But it don't have to be that way. If you're here today, and I don't care if you're 10 or if you're 35 or if you're 85, man, if you'll come and ask. Again, the Bible said we have not because we ask not. You know, we shortchange a lot of times what God can do. God can do so much in our heart and in our lives because we look around us. Look at the problems that we have. Sister Savannah's coming. Think about the problems that we have. There's things that WD-40 can't touch, man. There's things that duct tape can't touch. There's things that super glue can't touch. You know what it's going to take? It's going to take the power of God on the people of God's lives. Amen. There could be an Elisha in here. There could be an Elijah in here. There could be a Onesiphorus in here. There could be a Barnabas in here. I think about those that God used. There could be a Rahab in here that God wants to use in a special and a unique way. But you're going to have to move beyond Gilgal. You're going to have to move beyond Bethel. You're going to have to move beyond Jericho. You're going to have to move beyond the Jordan. On the other side of the Jordan is where he asked, Lord, I want that double portion. But he aspired. Hey, listen, he aspired and he was adamant to press on. He aspired to have the power. And he simply asked, Lord, let the double portion of thy spirit be on me. God, help us to desire the best things in life. And the best things in life are the things that God would be pleased with. And God wants to use me and God wants to use you. There's some things this stuff won't fix, but I'm glad that there's things that can be fixed with an individual that is submitted and committed unto the Lord. Well, preachers, 2020, it makes no difference, man. God will still use us. If we mean business with Him, God will use every one of us in here. Now, if you're here tonight and never been saved, that's your greatest need to get saved. But if you are saved, how long is it going to take for you to do something for God? God wants to use you. In a greater way. He wants to use me in a greater way than he's using me right now. He wants to use everybody in here in a greater way than he's... I don't believe anybody could stand up and say, oh yeah, I'm right exactly where God wants me to be. Hey, we're all a work in progress. We need to power God on our life to make a difference in the hearts and lives of this people, to make a fundamental difference, to be the salt to the world, to be the salt to the earth and the light of the world. We're going to have to get committed. We're going to have to get submitted unto the Lord. What could we do? What could we do if just a couple or maybe four or five just said, you know what, I'm done playing the game. I'm done with this stuff. I want to serve God with full 100%. Say, preacher, I'd like to have that, but you know what, it's going to cost you something. Oh, yeah. I mean, talk's cheap, but it's going to cost you something. You know, true discipleship costs you something. What did Jesus say? Take up your cross daily. Cross has to do with something dying. Hey, before Elijah, I'm trying to quit now. Elisha, before he ever got to this point in 2 Kings chapter number 2, he was plowing in the field. When Elijah threw that mantle upon him, which was a passing of the baton of the prophetic office, you know what he did? He went and he slew those oxen. Used the instruments that they had to have the fire, and he slew that. You know what he did? He sealed his decision. I got to thinking about that. You know, when he done that, he said, I'm not going back. I'm not going back to where I was. You know what? I wonder what we need to slay in our life. Yeah, man, to go forward with God, what we need to slay. I'll share this with you. Sister Rhonda was sharing with me just the other night. Sister Emmy, of course, during all this stuff that's went on, I think she was involved in basketball for about 11 months out of the year. She came to the conclusion, she said, you know what, I've missed my last youth meeting. I've missed my last opportunity to serve the Lord and all the things that I could be doing. She said, I'm done. With a basketball, and there's nothing wrong with basketball in and of itself, but it had consumed her, and it had consumed her family. And it took that accident that basically that Rhonda was in, and by their own admission. And she said, I'm done with this. I want to fully serve God. And I tell you this, Brother Brandon, God's going to honor that. Amen. God will honor that. That was something that needed to be slayed in her life in order for her to move forward for the glory of God. I tell you what, there's some things that we might have to slay in our life in order for us to move forward for the glory of God. And I promise you this, we'll be glad that we did when we stand before the Lord. Amen. There's things that duct tape can't fix, WD-40 can't fix, and glue can't fix. But I'm telling you, God can fix some things in our lives and in the lives of others if we'll let Him. As we stand all over the house, heads are bowed and eyes are closed.
Hello friends, this is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world. to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month, we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation. They prepare for retirement. They seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday, for the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God." Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You must understand that your good words, good works, and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, "Therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, they said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You might ask the question, "Preacher, how can I be saved?" That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16 and verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, "Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me?" Well, first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." If God draws you by conviction, and if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them. If you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sins. Romans 8:1 declares, "There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by his marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.